Hello, hello. Welcome back to yet another exciting episode of Let's Vibe. My name is Fatima. I have a wonderful guest today. I say that about a lot of them, but today's one is good. His name's Jeremy. Jeremy, I will let you introduce yourself.
Yeah, well, I'll start off by saying you introduced me as wonderful, so I really appreciate that. Like, thank you.
I meant it from here.
But yeah, my name is Jeremy. Nice to meet you all. And I am based here in Atlanta, Georgia, actually newly relocated to Atlanta, Georgia from Chicago. Really excited to just chat and vibe with you today, Fatima, because you also are a vibe.
That part. Thank you. Thank you, yeah. Jeremy. So you mentioned that you're new to Georgia, Atlanta, to be specific.
Yes.
How long have you been here?
I've lived in Atlanta for 3 months.
90 days. You're off of probation. So it's safe to say you're one of us now. Are you driving crazy?
No, I'm not driving crazy. I really enjoy Atlanta. I wouldn't say I'm one of you all yet. Give me some time to figure that out. But, you know, Chicago's home. Ghana's home.
That's right. And are you first generation American or were you born in Ghana and then?
If first generation means I was born here, then that's the one. I was born in Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah, but both of my parents were born in Ghana.
Well, okay. So do you speak the language?
I think so.
Do they think you speak the language?
Depending on who you ask.
Uh-huh.
You know, like the real people that speak that raw tree. Uh-huh. You know, but I can say some things. I mean, if you said me a Ghanaian, right?
Yeah.
But I just basically said if I speak it, you'll know that I'm Ghanaian.
Yeah.
But when I start getting into those real conversations, it's like, depending on who you talk to.
You could kind of read that, you know, this is what they're talking about, but not get full details of the conversation.
Yeah, because I think it's the whole package. So it's the, you know, even when I start speaking, my whole mannerisms change and, you know, based on what you say, kind of your expressions, your nonverbal cues.
But I feel like from a non-tree speaking person, it kind of sounds a little aggressive. Is it?
Really?
I kind of sound like they're mad at me.
So I feel that way about Nigerians.
Uh-huh.
And so Gans, which is another language in Ghana, I feel like they speak aggressive. But I always thought tree is a very calm,
I'd be like, yeah, they're definitely talking about how they're gonna kidnap me. And
do you think it's the most aggressive of languages?
Not the most.
Which one do you think is the most aggressive then?
Let's see.
I vote for Nigeria.
Nigeria sounds, yeah, it sounds aggressive.
And I think it's them in general. Like, they're just aggressive.
They're
love
demeanor.
My Nigerians, but, you know.
Shout out to Niger. Yeah. Niger never die. But that language sometimes could come off as, ooh, are they mad at me?
Yeah.
So tell me, what do you do for work?
My day job is I manage a customer success team at Lyra Health, which is a mental health tech company.
Very nice.
And yeah, I manage a team of customer success managers that are all over the United States of America.
Very, very nice. So that's your day job. What's your night job?
I also have a talk show called The Jeremy Kofi Convo, shameless plug.
Hey.
And I started it during the pandemic as a way to have conversations that I felt were relevant, whether culturally, things that I just felt passionate about, things I wanted to shed insight to. And so a lot of what I talk about on my show stems from conversations that I've had in real life. So something I've talked about has been the disconnect between Africans and African Americans. I've talked about if Black men protect Black women as much as they should.
Do you think they do?
No, I don't. I think we could do better. But I also, this is my new evolved thought process. Mm-hmm. I also don't necessarily know that I believe Black women also protect Black men the way
that they could. Should.
Yeah, okay. I think it's both on both sides.
Okay.
Which is something that I've recently.
Do you think Black women protect and support Black women?
Ooh.
As a male, you know, someone of the opposite gender, do you think women.
Yeah.
Black women.
Let me say this. I think there are a lot of Black women that do. And I think that there are not a lot of avenues that promote that because it's not what sells. And I think people like the rhetoric that Black women don't support each other. But I know a lot of Black women that genuinely do. And also, there are lots of them that don't.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think that's with any culture, you know, we like to, especially I think in this day and age, we like to promote a lot of things that sells. And a lot of things that sell is aggression, violence, disharmony, sex. And so if you're not careful in curating these positive images for yourself, then you'll start to believe these things that like Black women don't support each other. But I think that there are a lot of them that do. However, I will also say, I think that women can be emotional, and I think
women can be what? No, not me being emotional.
Women learn their emotions a lot earlier than men do. And so women are able to express their emotions a lot more freely.
Right.
And so I think that sometimes relationships just end with females a lot more common than they do with men. But it's not because they're more emotional. It's because women are able to act on their emotions more. And as such, as the inevitable challenges come between friendships, you might have a scenario whereby y'all might fall out over a nigga or two.
Or three.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
Well, I would say we're taught early on to, I guess, manage our emotions or suppress them. So it gets to a point where you don't have to be that person anymore. You know, it's okay for me to say, which gets me to the back to your mental health point. It's okay for me to express that I am angry. Mm-hmm. It's okay for me to express that I am sad, I am happy, and all of these different emotions, because once I could identify my emotions, it will help me communicate with you better.
Right.
If I'm telling you I'm angry and what I need is space from you right now, you at least know what to give me in that moment for us to diffuse the situation and then get back and get to a common ground. You know what I mean? And so even with friendships or relationships among us females nowadays, I think it's more of boundaries.
Yeah.
If I am communicating to my friend that I don't like, you know, how they're conducting, I don't have to listen to you complain about the same man 150 times.
Yeah.
You know, if I tell you, yo, listen, it's either when we're together, you don't bring up this topic or not, and you still do, I think it's okay for me to separate myself from that. You get what I mean?
But is that just because they're talking about the man? Or no, is it the consistency of it?
It's the consistency and it's the lack, it's the crossing of boundaries. So not that you're just talking about that, you're being negative. Because with my conversations generally, I'll let you vent. You know, it's okay for you to express your emotions. But after you're done venting, friend, we have to find a solution. We have to talk about ways to turn things around. I'm not the friend who's going to sit and be negative with you all the time, because I don't want that sipping into my, you know, my world.
Yeah. So
if we're going to vent, if we're going to process those negative emotions, at the end of that, let's turn around and start finding solutions.
Mm.
So I distance myself from friends who just want to complain and be negative. Period.
The negative. So negativity, just like bashing men, or is it just like going through the same thing? Just so I can understand, going through the same conversation about a, let's say hypothetical, you're dealing with a fuck nigga, and you just want to talk about this man all the time. Is that what you're saying is negative?
In a sense, there are people who just generally feel like life is happening to them. Every little thing, they run up to a red light, they think, oh my god, why is it red when it's my turn to go? If you're that kind of person who can't find anything positive about life, and then you're complaining to me about this one man, I'm starting to think, well, friend, is anything ever enough for you? Is anything ever, is the situation as bad as you're describing it? Because patterns have shown that you tend to focus on the negative.
Okay. So it's not even about the
man. So it's a pattern of behavior.
Okay.
I tend to be observant in my friendships.
I get that. Yeah. I will say every friend you're speaking, what I'm hearing is you're speaking more about someone that's just a negative Nancy all the time, regardless of what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. At first I thought you were talking about someone who is going through an emotional time with the person and needing somebody to talk consistently. And I'll be honest, I think not every friend is that person. I don't think I can talk to the same person about the same person every time. But I have, if I'm being honest, went through a time where I was going through a breakup and needed somebody to talk to me every day about the same things, because two things were happening. I was learning about my own emotions, and two, I was heartbroken.
Right.
And I think that the truth of the matter is logic and emotions. A lot of people will say, oh, I'm, you need to be logical, and some people are just emotional. Mm-hmm. And I think the truth of the matter is,
do you think they intertwine?
They have to, because we're humans,
right?
Like, expecting someone to be 100% logical would be in like almost counterintuitive to what the human experience is, because we are emotional beings.
Correct. Having a human experience.
But like, if you're too emotional, that's not a good thing. And if you're too logical, it's not a good thing. What you need is to have a good balance of both, which makes you a rational thinker.
Right.
Which I think a lot of times we talk about, logic. And so when I was heartbroken for the first time, a lot of things that I started doing, behaving, thinking was in response to my emotions that I, one, had no awareness to, didn't know nothing about, and really thought that my emotions meant that I had to act off of them. You know what I mean?
Right.
And getting the support that I needed was very pivotal. The right support, I would say, was very pivotal to me being able to come out that on the other side.
Now that you're on the other side, what would you say was the right support, looking back?
Having
friends. What did that friend give you that you feel like was pivotal?
Having friends that were able to listen to me without judgment, while also challenging me to think about things differently.
Right.
And the mistake that a lot of people make as friends is when they are not emotionally invested into somebody and their friend is coming to vent to them, they put on their logical lens as a way to help them through an emotional time, which is not fair. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. Because everybody, when they're going through, like, emotion and love is not logical.
No, it's not.
Like, right? Like, God didn't create love to be this logical thing that just made so much sense. It's like, if we didn't love certain people, think about how many people we'd write off the first time they made us wrong. Absolutely. So love is not a very simple, it's a very complex thing.
And the line between love and hate is
it's very, very thin. Yeah. And needing friends that are able to listen without judgment, giving you the space to just time, you know, and also challenging you appropriately, not like, stop talking about this dumbass motherfucker, right? Like, you don't need that. Right. What you need is somebody to say, like, you need somebody to say, like, you know, I'm here for you. I'm going to continue to be here for you. And having somebody to also encourage you to think about things differently, and almost placing those things like, yeah, this person, giving you the tools to think about it differently.
Right.
But that just takes time.
It really does. It takes time and growth, honestly. It takes a good friend. You have to be a good friend for you to realize what a good friend looks like, yeah. I feel. Now that, you know, we're getting a little older.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit.
Speak for yourself.
I'm going to be 18.
I just turned 25.
No way.
That's, yeah.
I'll be 21 next year, and then I'll be 18 the year that follows.
Oh, great.
Happy. So you're a little older than me.
Oh, a little. It's cool. Yeah, 25.
Right. So now that we're you know, maturing, I find that I'm a different friend than I was 5 years ago, two years ago.
Yeah.
I can look back and think, "Oh, I could have been a better friend," because when, you know, friends are going through different stages of life, we go through them, and sometimes we have to grow with them through those experiences. It doesn't have to take me, let's say, a loss of a parent or a divorce or something tragic to happen for me to empathize.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so the breakup situation, if my friend's going through it, it doesn't have to take me heartbreak for me to be there. And I'm now learning with my different friendships that each person needs me to show up differently.
Absolutely.
Like, I have a friend who just wants me to listen.
Mm-hmm.
All she wants is to vent, and at the end of it, just reassure her that I'm there for her. I heard what she said. And to her, that's healing enough. Whereas other friends would expect you to chime in and reassure them and, you know, lift their spirit up. And I had a friend whom I thought, when she was venting to me, what she needed was for me to crack jokes and lighten up her mood. Come to find out, that would upset her more.
Mm-hmm.
So months later, we were having an unrelated conversation, and she tells me, And by the way, when I am talking to you about something serious, you joke about it.
Mm.
Well, wait, what? I thought that was a thing. I thought you needed me to lighten the mood up. She's like, no, I'm really trying to be serious. And I had to look into myself and realize I can't be the same friend to each one.
Did it take you time to come to that conclusion? Or like in that moment, did you
It took me time. It? In that moment, I was hurt.
Were you defensive?
I was.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was defensive.
How much time do you think it took for you to realize? I asked this for a reason, which I'll share.
I think I got to that realization slowly. Mm-hmm. You know, I wish I did sooner than it took me longer than it should have, because it was, you know, just a light bulb moment, but it took a while for it to click.
Yeah.
What do you ask?
Well, I would say the reason I ask is because I've learned that, to your point, we all have to show up differently for people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, the way we show up is based off of how we want to be treated or how we think. Mm. And the golden rule is treat people how you want to be treated. But what I've learned is the platinum rule is treat people how they want to be treated.
Oh, right? That's a good one.
Is that a good? I didn't make it up, so somebody did.
I'll give you the credit.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Because I just learned the platinum rule.
Yeah. And when someone tells you, oh, like, you've done this to me, our innate reaction as humans is to immediately go into defense mode. That's right. Not what I did. But the truth of the matter is intent versus impact.
Thank
right?
you.
Like, the impact is what matters. Exactly. And like, once you like drive into the impact, the person immediately feels hurt. And they're like, you know, and because I've had a friend, one of my really good friends, who told me once, like, sometimes you talk at people. And in that moment, I felt my defense coming up. And I was like, no, Jeremy, stop. And I had to literally call it down and say, I really didn't realize I was doing this to you. Tell me more. And, you know, I apologize. And if that comes up, you know, let me know. I'm human. And immediately it just changed course, because while I did not intend that, it didn't matter, because she was telling me about how it impacted her. That's all she cared about.
Exactly.
And that's really the only thing that matters in that moment.
Absolutely. You know? So we're going to, I'm enjoying the conversation.
Yeah.
We're vibing. We're talking vibing. About mental health. We're talking about friendships, growth. And introspection, because one of the hardest things to do is to look into yourself. Now, we're our biggest critics. Mm-hmm. We criticize ourselves, but to objectively look at your own patterns of behavior and point out where you could do better, that takes a lot of growth.
Yeah, and like, it's hard.
It's hard. Yeah. And so the fact that we're doing it really is something to be proud of. I like to talk about mental health as well. Yes. I don't know if I shared on this platform, but I do suffer with depression and anxiety at times. There are times where I have depressive moments. My lows are really low. And in that moment, I feel like the end of the world. But with growth as well, I'm starting to learn that the more I try to suppress my emotions, suppress what I'm truly feeling, the more depressed I am, because it just weighs me down. And so now I'm learning that talking about feelings doesn't have to be as uncomfortable as it's been making me feel.
Yeah.
What's your take on mental health?
Ooh, I could talk about mental health for hours. I think it's super important. And I think if everybody went to therapy, particularly people of Black African descent, the world would be such a better place, because everything that you do in this world, from your work to your family to your friends to your relationships to yourself, comes from your mental state of being. And there are things that drive you that you are either aware of or unaware of, intentional or unintentional, explicit or implicit, subconscious or conscious.
Hey.
And being able to dive into those parts of your brain that you've honestly learned to put away is one of the most rewarding, pivotal things that you could ever do for yourself. It ain't easy.
No.
You're going to be in that therapist's office or whatever your mental health practice is, digging into some parts of yourself that is the ugliest, and you're going to be doing an ugly cry like I did. But it's freeing. You know, it's freeing. Like, you know, growing up, like we were talking about before we started filming, as someone who was born here in an African household, I didn't realize how much of that stuff really affected how I thought, how I showed up, how I didn't show up, the things I said, the things I didn't say, things that I would respond to or not respond to. The level of internal peace that I have now, coming from, one, the love of God first, and then secondly, my mental health, is unmatched. Because I'm not even looking for happiness anymore. Because happiness is...
You're not chasing...
No, because happiness. Looking for happiness means that, to me, and someone said on my show, Jude said it, give credit to Jude, shout out Jude, said that, you know, and I believe it, happiness is something that you wake up today, you're happy. If you're having a concert, you'll be happy. If I'm buying a new car, I'll be happy. But it's a feeling that's fleeting. Mm. It's like, so the human experience requires you to be happy, sad, frustrated, joy. It's all a part of it. And so when you're always chasing happiness, you disregard the other emotions that come with being a human.
Right.
And so like, I might wake up tomorrow and be sad for no reason at all. And instead of me trying to fight it, I accept it. I'm sad today. Mm-hmm. You know, this too shall pass. And I allow it to be. And that gives me peace because I'm no longer trying to fight
and suppress it.
And suppress and just like, so it is what it is. Right. You know, there's times I'm stressed. There are times where, you know, my parents are calling me and it's affecting my mental health. I have to accept it for what it is. Find healthy ways to deal with it and acknowledge that that is all a part of our unique experience as human beings. And happiness is a part of that, but it's not the only thing that I'm seeking.
Right, you right. I get your point, and it does make sense because it becomes, we get addicted to destinations. Like you say, you know, when I get this new car, yeah. And I get this next degree, and when I get married and find a partner, then I will be happy. But then you miss out on a lot of these other emotions. Mm-hmm. You miss out on experiencing your true self.
Yeah.
Because you're so focused on this destination. And honestly, a lot of us are guilty of that. You get to that destination, you know, you had been, you know, studying for your degree. You get to your degree. It feels good in that moment. And then you're like, oh, okay, what next?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it was all like this, I think people are running from themselves, mm-hmm. you know, and people are not dealing with themselves. And myself included, we all do it to a certain extent. I think Absolutely. There are unhealthy levels and unhealthy levels, which is why you find a lot of people on drugs, people scamming, you know, people trying to look like they have all these things that they don't have is because people are trying to create this version of themselves that they wish that they had because they feel like in some ways I'm not enough. Mm. They may not be able to articulate that because right. you can do things on a subconscious level.
Absolutely.
And that's why I think mental health is so important because Absolutely. Like, I don't need to go to the club every weekend to be happy. I could be cool at home with a pizza, watching a TV by myself and having a good time because Absolutely. I'm at peace and I like myself. I'm learning to love who I am and getting to love myself becomes an overused word to me, but like really just know who you are. It's a journey. It's not a destination, right? And I'm not 100% there.
Please don't break our equipment.
I'm trying
or
not
else
to.
We're coming for yours. I hope it's not in Chicago.
It is. You know, I have a team there. I wasn't trying to.
You did mention that everyone, a lot of us, there's a quote that I see on social media where they say, people go to therapy to deal with people who need to be in therapy.
Yeah.
I have been in therapy. Uh-huh. I had a wonderful Black woman. I specifically say Black woman mm-hmm. because when I was reading her profile, the first thing that I noticed was that she looked like me. Mm-hmm. And that was 80% of the journey, honestly, because there's certain things that I don't have to over-explain to her because she gets
she
it.
She gets it, yeah.
As a woman, she gets it. As a Black, dark-skinned woman with nappy hair like me, she gets it. And so talking to her was... It was freeing because
yeah.
I felt like I was talking to a sister
yeah.
who was in a position of power to empower me. However, though, I find that when you're emotionally intelligent, talk therapy is a little bit of a challenge.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you say that?
Because I can tell you the parts of me that I want you to know, and it's easy for me to influence your opinion.
But this is my thing. If you have a good therapist, they gonna read all that
she
stuff.
She would call me out.
Yeah, she would.
And you know, I'm telling her about, let's say, a love interest, and she says, "I don't like him." I go another and I'm not intentionally trying to be manipulative,
mm-hmm.
but I recognize, looking back now, I recognize that as someone who's highly emotionally intelligent, it was a struggle for mm-hmm. me to sit down and be truly, truly, truly authentic, because I would come to a defense.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're going to do talk therapy, if you're going to be in therapy,
yeah.
it's important to let your guard down.
Yeah, 100%.
You're not going to like 80% of the things you hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, therapy therapy is not about cuddling you and it's okay, you're great, you're beautiful, you're smart and intelligent. Mm-hmm. It's usually about uncovering the reasons as to why you are the way that you are.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like with time, I will be ready to go back to her or another therapist and sit down and really uncover some truths.
Yeah. I tell people all the time, do not go to therapy if you're not ready to be honest. Because a lot of people, which I learned this, a lot of people lie to their therapist, which I understand why. In my adult life, I haven't done that. Mm-hmm. The worst I'll do is I just will omit it. I won't say anything about it.
But
I might
lie. That's also a part of... Because then it's like an experiment. You're taking away one ingredient. So then you're taking away the control.
Yeah.
So omission as well could be a part of
dishonesty. Because people want to control. Again, it goes back to that image people created in their head. But I would say if you have a good therapist that has been doing this for a while, they'll be able to, because we all as humans in some regards have similar ways of behaving.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody that studies like psychology and is really good at what they do can pick up the inconsistencies in the things that you're saying and not saying. And my therapist proved it to me, right? Because that's their job. Some therapists are not that good, mm-hmm. and they're just not going to be able to do it, you know?
And but so when picking out a therapist, do you think it would be best to, well, it would be a matter of preference, but would it be more objective to find someone who is not like you?
No.
Or find someone who's kind of like you?
I think someone that is like you, because you have to be comfortable, you know? And I went to a white female therapist at some point. She didn't understand certain things, and I wasn't necessarily uncomfortable, but I could tell that there was a disconnect in the understanding, not because she couldn't understand it, but culturally, there are just some things that you just don't understand.
Absolutely. That happened to me as well. Because even when I were to describe a situation that made me feel uncomfortable mm-hmm. or upset me, I first have to explain what the typical... Not only am I a black woman living in America, I'm an African woman. So I have two cultures behind me
mm-hmm.
that I first have to explain to mm-hmm. her, explain why one thing was appropriate versus the other, and then tell her my side of the story.
Yeah.
So I felt like therapy took much longer because it was a cultural lesson to each issue that I brought up.
Yeah, and it's normal. Because I do think sometimes white therapists or just therapists that are different, they can understand the psychological aspect. I don't think they're incapable. I think it's more about the comfortability of you. Mm-hmm. And because there's a part of therapy that you have to buy into and you have to accept, you know, and if you don't buy into it, it's not going to work.
Right.
You know, and part of that is feeling as comfortable as you can to really just let it all out. And I think that sometimes with black people, there is this wall up when we talk to white people
mm-hmm.
for so many reasons. We get into that, like feelings of incompetency when you're around white people. And so you feel the need to button up and say the right things because, you know, I don't want to see you overcompensate. So that's the reason why I think, like, when you just have somebody that is culturally astute with you, like, you're just able to just kind of, congruent, you're able to just kind of be a lot more, your head down a little bit in some cases, I would say.
On the flip side, though, when I did talk to someone who was not like me, it was interesting to have her take on some of these issues. I was able to see things from a different point
mm-hmm.
of view.
You know what I think it is? Their way of dealing with a lot of things that we have is just, it's simple. For example, I wanted to do this, but like my mom didn't agree or my dad didn't agree with it. And it was like, well, just do it anyways.
Then do it.
But it's not that simple. Like, mm-hmm. but what she's saying is totally right once you get there. But I need to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not there today. And we have to unpack why I'm not there, which is so much cultural, societal, you know, parenting, identity issues and all of that, that I need to get to before I can get to, like, oh, just lift your, you know what I'm saying?
Listen, when I say my African parent is not okay with this, it's not just a matter of, okay, mom, get over it.
Like, that does not work for me.
In our household, it doesn't work that way.
It takes time. Now, I will say I have had the privilege of having, for the most part, very understanding Ghanaian parents. My parents came here very young. So even for me, I realized for a lot of my friends who had stricter parents, a lot of times I would oversimplify their way of being able to deal with certain issues, like, you know, their parents having to, you know, accept their line of work, them being able to, like, tell their parents that they drink, their sexuality, like, different things where it, for me, it was like, oh, it just does, you know what I'm saying? And, and that's the thing. I think there's an insensitivity to how deep that stuff is when you are unfamiliar what that looks like.
Absolutely.
So you might be aware of, like, oh yeah, in order for you to live a full life, you have to live for yourself, which is very true. However, someone that has not had the safety of parents that have supported who they are is going to take a lot longer and a lot more intentionality and a lot more digging to get to that point that sometimes certain therapists may not understand.
Absolutely.
And so they can oversimplify what that looks like, as such not be effective in helping you deal with it because you don't understand why this is so deep for me.
Right. You know? Then when you oversimplify something that to me might be of significance, it makes me question my judgment in that moment. It makes me question myself. Like, if the answer was, well, then do it.
Yeah. And I've been guilty of that. I ain't gonna lie. I have been guilty of it. And I, you know, a lot of times have realized that when you have parents that are creating an environment for you to just be who you are.
Be yourself.
And granted, my parents made mistakes, but for the most part, I think really did a good job of allowing me to be me. There's a different level of confidence that you're able to walk in the world with that some of my friends did not and do not have and struggle a lot with. A lot of deeper things, like being a shell almost and all that. And I call my mom right now. We can talk about Kiki about anything.
Right.
My dad too. Well, you just don't, cause you know, we don't have that relationship as much, but like I could, if I really, really wanted
to.
And don't fear that I would be disowned or my parents wouldn't. And I think there's, you know, and so I think that also too, just one example of why having a therapist that understands you culturally is important, because if they don't, they may not necessarily have the tools. And it's one thing to know about something.
Right.
It's another thing to understand, like, truly what you are dealing with. Right? Like, even if I'm being honest with you, I don't understand why people choose careers for their parents. It does not make sense to me. You know?
Right.
I understand it happens, and I'm familiar that it happens, but it's never been my reality, so I can't...
Same.
I can't feel what you feel, and as such, just do what you want to do. But like, no, it is not that, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So I'm aware that it's not that simple, but I don't understand what it feels like.
My mom follows me on Facebook.
Yeah.
My mom's my Facebook friend, and I post some off the wall memes and stuff. And she supports me. I can't even think about, I don't have to think, censor myself because my mom's watching. Because mom's like, so what are you up to next? And I call her on my way to shoot this podcast. She's like, yo, so what are y'all talking about today? And it's interesting you bring that up, because I've never had to think about what's mom going to think when I'm picking a career or a lifetime partner. I have to rely on the tools that she instilled in me, the tools that she gave me, that I'm doing the right thing. I rely on those.
Yeah.
And I know that even after I come to that decision, mom's going to support
me. Absolutely. And still love you. Because everybody wants to be loved.
Love your mama.
And it's crazy. My mama want to be my little friend now. Which is crazy. Because when I was a kid, she said she wasn't my friend.
Thank you.
Now she want to be my friend
so
bad.
She want to be my friend so bad.
I think it's funny.
Lady, you've gone my entire life telling me how I'm not your little friend.
Now she want to go to the club and kick it. Like, no, you cannot come with me.
Yes, how does she look can.
Like? How does it? No, she can't. She can come it's with different me. For a woman, though.
Oh, yeah, she can come
Think with about me. It. If you show up as a 30-year-old with your mama at the club, you come like, your mama's what? No, she can't come with me, unfortunately.
Okay, now that
you see what I'm saying? Who is this? It's my mama.
Who's that? German Deb. Who always coming?
Can you imagine?
Jeremy, no. Who always coming to the club with us?
Yeah.
Me and then my
they're gonna,
mom?
They're going to start not telling you when they go into the club. You know?
I can see that.
Yeah. But there's some spaces cool, she can come to, but not the club. Also, too, like, I know my mom would be down for the stuff that go in the club, but I don't want people to know that she is down. Because I'm like my sister's like doing coke. She could be like, oh, they doing coke over there. Like, but people, oh, your mom cool. You're like, nah, I don't want you to.
And my mom had us young.
Mm-hmm.
So I almost feel like we grew up with her. And sometimes we cross that boundary where in maybe certain African households, you wouldn't sit down and have a drink with your mom and do certain things. But for us, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Moms could be getting dressed and I'm there like, oh, that's normal. But now that I'm a little bit grown, I realize that certain things that were normal in my household
was not normal.
I could walk up on my mom in the shower and it's normal. She could walk up on me in the shower and that's normal. But
yeah.
For some people, it's not okay.
And I think it's the reason why a lot of people are messed up, because a lot of people are not ready to have kids and had them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, this introspection and being in therapy is just like, and just my own level of like developing my own sense of awareness made me just realize like everybody's dealt a different hand in life.
Right.
And your parents are so pivotal. You know, even when I think about like my Black brothers and sisters, you know, I had when I worked at Glassdoor, there was a person who reported to me, a Black man that I hired. And we were talking about, you know, just the way he showed up in the world because of the lack of his dad. So my dad was not an emotional dad.
Mm.
And I think there was a part of my life where I had this subconscious resentment towards that. But now it's like, I've been able to appreciate him for his presence.
May I pause?
Yeah.
Subconscious resentment.
Yeah.
I like that.
Because it wasn't conscious.
Right.
Like, I wasn't even aware of that, you know, I wanted my dad to be more present. And I think there was a point in my life where I wanted it really bad. And then a point in my life where I just accepted at some point that he's just not that person and just learned to deal with it. So I remember being a kid and wanting my dad to always be around him and stuff. And then some point that just phased off because he was just emotionally distant. Understandably so, as an adult, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've now been able to appreciate my dad for his presence.
Mm.
Just that, you know, because what it did was it gave me something to define what being a man is.
Right.
Well, I'll give you an example. When I was growing up, or even now to this day, I never realized domestic violence was such a very prevalent thing. Absolutely. And when I would hear about it, I'd be like, oh,
damn,
people.
That's sad.
Yeah, like I thought it was isolated situations. And now I've gotten older, I realized it's because like I've never seen my dad ever in his life
raise his hand
at my mom, ever, you know, really even get out of character or loud. I mean, they had arguments, of course, but it wasn't like disrespectful or degrading. And so it's not normal to me. Because
right,
I didn't see it.
Right,
I saw my dad always work very, very hard. And so it made me a hard worker. My dad always dropped me off to the airport, no matter where. And even to this day, if I'm coming to Chicago at his age, he's going to make sure he drops me off at the airport.
Aww.
And so I learned to appreciate him for the things that he gave me, even just by being an example of who he was, even though he might not have necessarily said, this is how you do this or this is how you do all that, which I credit more of that to my mom. But even that in and of itself.
But being an audience.
Right.
To him living his life.
It creates a norm. It creates a norm of what a man is in your life. Mm-hmm. And if you've never had that, then, you know, my dad wasn't, I've never seen women in and out of my house. Like that wasn't, I don't think he did, but let's say even if he did, I never saw it, right? You know, like, you know, I'm an adult now. I don't know what happened or didn't happen. That was none of my business. But what I'm saying is, and so it defined kind of a reality for me that I wasn't even aware of. And how I then interact with women in my life.
Exactly.
You know, so it's like, you know, my dad always took, when he had it, he always took care of the bills. You know, when he had it, he would always make sure that you had it. And my mom and all of us in terms of finances. There were some times in life where he just wasn't there financially. But once he had it, he was a
safety net. You didn't have to experience some of the struggles. You didn't have to.
Yeah.
You didn't have to see them because dad shielded that.
Yeah.
And it's. You know, growing up now, it's important to acknowledge
right.
and give our parents credit because they tried.
They did.
This parenting thing, y'all, it's so hard. And so for the things that they did and for the struggles that, you know, they got us to this age. And for that, really.
It's just immigrant parents.
And immigrant parents,
yeah,
right?
It's crazy. Yeah, I have a deep level of appreciation for them both, even though I don't say it as much.
All right, so we're going to wrap this up. I'm enjoying this conversation. Yeah. Do you want to FaceTime me so we can continue?
Let's do that.
Okay.
Let's do that.
But we got to wrap it up. To wrap this up, could you tell me what songs you've been vibing to lately?
Ooh, what song? So I...
Your top
I'm embarrassed to say this.
Well, this going to be I good.
Listen
this
to...
This going
to
be some City Girl stuff.
No, it's not. It's I listen to old school church music in my car mostly.
That's not embarrassing.
Balance with trap music, balance with Afro beats, but it's usually older songs. It's
like,
not
like what?
I have this obsession with older music. Like if I show you what I posted on my WhatsApp story, it's like an old song. From
You're
like
an
the,
old soul.
I think so, I am. Yeah.
You've been here before.
Yeah. Maybe.
So but how can people find you, Jeremy?
You can find me on Instagram at Jeremy Kofi. You can also go to www.jeremykofi.com.
Oh, you are so Ghanaian.
Really?
Jeremy who?
Jeremy Kofi. You know, that's my middle name. yeah, those are two best ways to hit me. Or you can look up the Jeremy Kofi Combo on YouTube. But the best way, hit me up on Instagram at Jeremy Kofi. And I would love to hear from all of you. And this has been a lovely conversation.
It's been a pleasure of mine.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for
you have
being
to do it again.
So. We do.
Yeah.
And then we'll continue on FaceTime because
yeah.
I feel like I still need to hear a lot of those stories.
Let's do it.
All right. Thank you for watching, you guys. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Till next time. Vibe.